Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Trench Run Report. We have been gone for a while, but we are back in action in the year of 2025, where there will be things to talk about this year. I'm your host, Justin Gray, and here with me is...
Sean McKinley, standing by.
Aaron Russo, standing by.
And this episode is... a very piratey episode.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Skeleton Crew, which came out last year in the winter around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And
right, New Year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think one of the episodes we watched during New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Was it eight episodes, I want to say?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it... Yeah, it was like December.
Yeah, one was on Christmas Eve.
I think they did two at once, right? First two at once?
Yeah, the first.
It was only like 7 weeks long of... Maybe it was November through December or something, but yeah. Yeah, so Skeleton Crew, it's not billed as season one. It's just, for now, just Skeleton Crew.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess they set up potentially some pieces for another season, maybe. But, unfortunately, like, nobody watched it. We can go there, but the ratings were like not there as far as like viewership, which is a little bit of a shame. But
and besides, they also hinted that if they would make a season two, and it's the really huge if, there would definitely be a time jump because the kids are getting into that Stranger Things camp where. you'd have to do a time jump, because unless you're going to do something like the Cobra Kai, where the high schoolers are, like, at least 26 yeah. or something like that, which I don't...
I think the girl in that show was in Cobra Kai. I feel like she was, like, 23 or something, even, like, in season one. Like, she was way too old, but she, like, looks young enough to, like, pass as, like, 17-year-old or whatever. But, like, yeah, even in this show, Skeleton Crew, like, the kids' ages range within, like, the group, right? So I think, like, Fern is probably the oldest, like, of them. All of them will... it's the magical time of life, right? With all this suddenly be, like, all grown up.
Yeah.
We would have to jump it.
Yeah, especially considering how long it took to make the show.
Yeah.
Like, that show, they probably filmed that, like, 2 years ago or more.
Yeah.
So, if they... And they're not even in anything close to, like, developing season two.
Mm-hmm.
So, if... I mean, realistically, you'd be looking at least 2 or 3 years before that would even be a thing.
Yeah.
Which would be, like,
and they haven't even started or talked about writing another season or whatever, pre-production, whatever. Nothing. There's nothing in the pipeline right now, right?
They said that the show creators have an idea.
Yeah, if...
But that's... That's probably true for anyone who makes a season of TV.
Yeah, they have to say that. But anyway, yeah, it was, I can overall say that it was a fun ride. Like, it's the only thing that my kids were like, is the next one out? Like, they wanted to watch it every episode. They're like locked in. My kids are 10 to 13, so they're perfect age for all this. 11 and a half plus or minus a year and a half, right? And not even Mandalorian kept their attention like this. I mean, that was 5 years ago, but this was like they were all in on it. But then again, they like since the finale, they haven't talked about it. So I don't know. Like, it didn't have like staying power. They're not like pretending to be these characters or like.
Right.
It just kind of was in one
way. Or like, we get the toys or something.
Yeah, it was like they liked it and then forgotten and then they move on. But that's kind of the nature of things these days with content as it is.
Right.
But yeah.
I thought it's interesting that. I think for me, like, Skeleton Crew was something that was, like, it was never something that was, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if they made whatever? Like, it just was, like,
Yeah.
We're doing the show called Skeleton Crew.
And there was Goonies in space.
There was zero expectations of, like, you know, like, oh, they're finally announcing this show, or, you know, it's just, like, so, like, I feel like, for me, like, it was, like, okay, cool. Like, but I wasn't, like, oh, man. Like, when they announced, we're doing a Kenobi show, I was, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we want that, and I can't wait for that. Skeleton Crew was more, like, especially coming off the heels of The Acolyte, it was, like, there was no momentum going into it. The show didn't really have any built-in, like, draw or appeal. And I think that helped it. I think that helped the show because it was very similar to me. For me, it was very similar to Bad Batch. It was like, I never really wanted or needed the show. So I didn't have high expectations. And then I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Like, I was very pleasantly surprised with that show. It wasn't like my favorite Star Wars show or anything, but very pleasantly surprised with everything about it for the most part. And it was also exactly what they said it would be.
Yeah.
Like, they said it, what it was going to be. You watched it and you're like, that's what it was. And they did it well. Like,
yeah,
they told you what they were going to do and then they did it. And then they did it well. And then everybody liked it who watched it.
That's what, that's true of this one too. Like, it was, like, better than I thought. Like, my expectations were low, right? Which I've learned to go into with Lord and lowered expectations. But, like, yeah, it was, like, better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Better made than I thought it was going to be. You could tell, like, you know, professional storytellers, right? Or, like, not just storytellers, but, like, professional people who make TV shows were behind it.
Yes.
They structured each episode like an actual episode of a TV show and not, like, 8 hours of content that they, like, messily edited up in the editing bay and, like, made something out of it in post-production. They, like, planned out, like, shots and tempos and, like, you know, tension release, like, all of the elements of making a good story on film. They, like, they figured it out. And then, you know, obviously, like, if you have, like, a sort of veteran actor in Jude Law, right, kind of holding it together, like, having, like, kids, anytime it's, like, kid-centric or with kids as the focus, like, it can be very cringe and bad, right? I feel like they all did a good job. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, with Jude Law just kind of in the mix, I guess even at the end when he's, you know, when we learn more about him, as it were, right? It was kind of surprising, I guess, because I was like, but that was good in a way, because it's like in those middle episodes you're like, what is this guy's deal? And like, is he a good guy, a bad guy? Like, what is he doing? And yeah, I guess he went full villain, you could say. But like,
yeah,
I guess I wasn't expecting that. But
I thought that bringing up that, you know, like, part of what I think makes the show a success in my mind is that they did pull off a show that was focused on all kid actors.
Yeah.
Which is definitely, in my view, like, starting at a disadvantage. Like, it could go really wrong. Like, if you had really poor child acting, poor writing, then it would have been brutally difficult to watch.
Right.
And I think that the kids did a great job. Not perfect, but really good. And Jude Law was fantastic. He had a lot of scenes that I thought were, like, really good. Very, like, just very memorable sequences or lines or interactions that were all really good. And I think probably, you know, again, to borrow Justin's line, like, the thing that I think the strength of the show was how fun it was.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun with just the right amount of serious.
Like, light peril or whatever.
Right? Yes. Like, yes.
Right.
Light.
I don't think these kids are going to die, right?
Right.
Like, they're in some amount of danger temporarily.
Yeah. Which I think is why your kids probably liked it, right? It's like,
yeah,
it's just enough of a,
thrilling enough, yeah.
Yeah, just enough of a grown-up show with kids in it that they don't feel like they're watching a kid's show.
Yes,
like, yeah. They feel like they're watching a grown-up show.
For their ages.
Yeah, exactly.
And they watched, like, a little bit. They actually recently, my parents showed them The Goonies when they were, like, sleeping over there. And because I told them, I was like, yeah, there's this movie, The Goonies, and, like, the show is, like, basically like very much inspired by that, and they're like, okay. And then when they finally saw it, they like, mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, right. Did you guys see Skeleton Crew? They're like, oh yeah, like we totally see like what you meant by this now. Like there are so many analogies to that, and like even the crew is the same people basically, more or less. Right, the kids like have analogs to each person in the crew of, you know, the Truffle Shuffle kid and like the Brainiac one, right, and all this gadget Brainiac kid, you know, it's all there.
So what did you guys think? I think the first thing that I wanted to talk about was, because I know when the trailers came out, there was like some consternation around, number one, the modern music track.
Oh, Major Tom, yeah. Yeah,
and the, you know, the Star Wars E.T. suburb.
Yeah.
Which people were not a fan of or were distracted by. And curious what you guys think. Like, I really, it was a definitely overall not a distraction to me watching the show. Like, it didn't take me out of the show.
And the music wasn't, they didn't use that music in the show. In the show.
Right.
So that, and I was fine with it in the trailer too, because they put it in Arabic, right? They used like a different language.
Yeah.
Was it Arabic or Hatties?
Hatties. So it's like, it's a twist.
It's not even the lyrics to the song Major
Tom. Oh, okay, yeah.
Because they do mention that in the song.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's a smart move, though. Like, use the musical hook in the trailer.
Yeah, but then Andor did.
To grab the attention and to make it something that's like, oh, this is like something cool and modern and hip. But then in the show, you stick to what works. You stick with the traditional Star Wars.
That's why the Andor trailer was like divisive because of that. It is like a straight up track out of, it didn't even modify it. It's just like a straight up. But it's like, that's to get like the normies interested.
I thought that for me, and it worked fantastic.
Yeah, I was like, this is fine. I don't see the controversy. And I'm like, I know this won't be the music in the show. Like, obviously we're going to use like regular dramatic music. The soundtrack of season one was awesome. I think it's the same guy. And then the second, like behind the scenes one was more like traditional, like we expect. And like, yeah, see guys, see, it's fine. Calm down. Yeah. But for like a week there, everyone was like freaking out.
I thought that the anticipated distraction of being in too earthly of a setting, for me, it didn't take me out of the show, which I thought was, because it could have.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, it was on theme because, like, literally this planet is, like, a sheltered little bubble, you know, in the galaxy. So, like, that fits, like, a comfy, cozy suburban bubble, you know?
And I just thought it was fun. It was fun to see these kids, like,
yeah.
Like, there were so many callbacks to E.T. and the Goonies.
The Amblin-verse.
And I thought that was very fun. Yeah. Like, and it was very relatable, but it still didn't feel like I was on Earth. It still felt very much like I was somewhere else.
Well, I mean, it's half that and half, like, futuristic Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, 100 years from now Earth, maybe, right? But, like, yeah, still alien.
I thought the set design and the cinematography when they were at Atten for the first couple episodes was great.
Especially to me it was the Pirate Cove place, like the Space Tortuga. Like they use a bunch of like real use like real models, stop motion, like they're like, you know, just like in traditional Star Wars.
Yeah.
They use models and stuff. And like, yeah, it just looked really, really good. And that was a cool set, like the whole
Tortuga place was probably the sequence that made the show stand out from like other shows that they've done. In that it didn't feel small, it didn't feel like the volume, it felt like they were really in that location. And just everything about that sequence just looked fantastic. Like, the characters, the creatures, the just everything, it felt very real, it felt very gritty, the way Star Wars can be, which I thought was very, very cool. And I thought the kids really, that contrast, right, like you've seen that before so many times, you're like, the kids who end up in a very grown-up environment. I thought that was just...
And they, like, imply, like, there's like, a brothel, and there's, like, drug addicts, and there's, like, violent stuff, and it's, like, just, like, pushing the edge of PG-13 from PG, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, the adults are like, oh, yeah, that's a brothel, but the kids are gonna be like, who's that nice lady talking to him? Right. Like,
but it was cool the way the kids, like, they played the naivety of their experience very well.
like paying with credits, and they're like, whoa, where are these things? Like, but that's all they know is money, is those shiny credits.
I thought that was it was very good. That's the first thing that I thought to talk about, was just like, because I know that was that was some of the controversy in the trailer, and I thought that it didn't pay off as a problem in the show.
Yeah, speaking of the spaceport, did you notice that some extra was getting their socks stolen? Background. But just I saw the show how not safe that
I did see, though, that they had the concept model of the Millennium Falcon was one of the ships back there. So that turned into the Blockade Runner. It's the long, skinny.
Really?
Yeah. Like the early, was it not Ralph McQuarrie? It was the other guy, the model designer guy early on.
Yeah.
That was the first version of the Millennium Falcon. It was it ended up becoming the Blockade Runner, and then the Burger and Fry's story turned into the Millennium Falcon as we know it. Which, I don't, is that apocryphal? Was that really what happened? He took a bite out of a burger with a fry sticking out of it, and that was his idea. That's what they said. That's what they say. Yeah.
No, that,
because you take a bite out of a burger when there's a fry sticking out, it totally looks like a Millennium Falcon. You know.
Yeah, I've never heard that. Yeah, I never heard that story either.
I want to believe it's true.
That's hilarious.
they said they wanted to kind of deviate from the ship designs.
Yeah,
from,
that's true.
2001.
Yeah.
So
abandon actual physics and what a actual spacecraft would need to be to just have this a truck in space kind of idea. But I think those first two were that, and then the third one was when they went to the moon. Was that what that one was?
Yeah.
And that was that was pretty good, and it was fun to see the kids get to use the guns and stuff, and there's throwback to A New Hope, and they're the bird lady, that was all kind of very Harry Potter, and it was one of those you kind of had to pay attention, I guess, to what are they doing here? What is she doing? What is this place? It's an observatory. Why do you need that? Why do you need a telescope to plot the galaxy or whatever? And and that is that where he. That's not where he double-crossed anyone, right?
No, but he kind of just plants this idea that the kids shouldn't trust anyone.
Yeah.
But that kind of backfires onto him.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and then the fourth one was, that French Resistance planet.
Yeah, similar to
Ashen. Yeah, the twin planet. I thought that was the weakest episode.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that was the weakest episode, but I feel like it could have been really good.
Yeah, it was a traditional Star Trek Next Generation episode kind of thing, right? Where they set up an entire scenario and wrap it up within an episode, but it just didn't do it as good as traditional shows like that would have.
When you look at this could have been it gets dangerously close to filler episode in a way, but it
doesn't really end up doing anything, right? As far as I remember, what do they get from it?
They get the coordinates. They also kind of put together that their planet was kind of similar to other establishments.
Right. They see the six or whatever.
And then they also apply that to in the finale, far as the final battle, because of the similar layouts to the buildings.
That's true.
We also had the revolving accents girl.
Yeah, she's Russian 1 minute and French the other, and then
I thought as much as it was kind of corny, I loved the little and I think they could have done it better, but the whole contrast between Neil and these kids who were all I've known as war, and Neil was so you guys, there's another way to live, you know, I thought that was very sweet, in the sense that, these kids, who have only known war, they've never met someone their age who just had a normal childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting interaction that I kind of thought was kind of effective, even though I think most of the episode was kind of undercooked, underdeveloped. Yeah. But I loved at the ending how Jod saves the day.
Well, but it was all off screen. That was why it was goofy to me. I'm I don't know, just I wanted to see him how did he get
doing a Han Solo?
He just told us what he did, and it's that's the laziest thing you can do, is literally tell, don't show. They set it up, and the next thing you know, it's all resolved, and you're like, oh, Like, I wanted to see that, not the whatever I just saw. Like, I want to see him getting out of that, right?
Squid. Well, I thought it worked only because later in the episodes you find out that he's not actually... Because that kind of...
Yeah, did he kill everyone?
Like, oh, maybe he's a good guy.
Right.
Yeah.
No, not really.
But then, like... But it's hard, like, on a rewatch, I guess, which I didn't do, but, like, I imagine, like, you know, that's, like, a high moment for them as, like, their relationship, because they're all like, oh, it's you, we hug them, like, oh, we're all, like, and then is it the next episode or the one after that where he, like, they're in, like, the Goonies room, right, and, like, he totally
kills all those pirates.
And he's, like, threatening to kill the girl and stuff, and it's like, man, like, when did he flip? Was he already decided to flip and, like, playing them off at that point, or was he, like... Was he getting tugged back and forth where he like, oh, I actually kind of like this, but also I'm like a scoundrel, right?
I think that the implication was that he made the deal, which benefited him.
Yeah.
And it just happened to benefit the kids because they're together.
Yeah.
But he was never really like truly altruistic.
He didn't like sacrifice for them.
Right. Right. He's definitely the Long John Silver.
Yeah.
Character.
Yeah. Use him where, as long as he can.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about SM33.
Yeah, SM33.
Oh, sweet. We got that intro in the third episode or second.
Second
episode.
Because he was on the ship.
Well, he wasn't. He was first the episode. One. Yes, but it was more of like a. I don't want to.
He was the MacGuffin kind of.
No, he was kind of just.
He was there. He was either off or he turned on when they.
Yeah, he turned off.
And I think that was like, oh no, what's gonna happen? Yeah. But had they reprogrammed him already by the end of the first episode? Or was that in the second one that they like, I'm the captain now, right? Was that in the first one?
That was the second one.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But yeah, obviously it's based on Smee from Hook.
Yeah.
With like the plastic pirate. Yeah. Peg leg even has like, not a parrot, but like he has a little creature.
Like
a
little
perfect. Of his eye. Yeah. Like out of his eye.
That was absolutely perfect.
Yeah. And then he like turns, I guess, or whatever. Like his programming takes over in that one episode, and they like turn him off, and then I guess he's good again. Well, I guess then Jod takes him over, right?
Yeah.
And then like he's his little buddy then, and then like but then like the other bounty hunters or whatever, like they like zap him when he's got all the gold chains on and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's coming out of the sewers, and we see him again after that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he like joins the kids again.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So. The consistent thing about him that he's pretty inconsistent.
Yeah. Whoever programs them is in charge.
Yeah.
But I thought the design of the character and like just the concept of like a pirate robot in the show fit very, very well. And I thought that he was the perfect, like, he was comic relief, but he was also a little bit scary and dangerous, which I thought worked very, very well in the show.
And we see like, off to the side, we see like Jod's like pirate crew side of things too. Occasionally, like there's the very beginning, right, is that like pirate raid on the ship, which is a pretty cool sequence, and like obviously that's, you know, Jude Law under the helmet, you know, like I called that immediately, but yeah. Like yeah, he like let down his team or whatever, and so they imprisoned him or whatever. They were mad, right?
He really reminded me of Han Solo in a lot of ways, just in the sense that he's like
in a New Hope.
Yes. Version.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like,
yeah,
he's kind of like, how do you say it? Like,
he's only looking out.
He's always, he's, well, yeah. And he's always, he's also like, how do I say it? Like Han, like he's full of bluster, you know?
It's oh
like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
He's never really as great as he makes himself out to be. Like the reality is that Jod was a constant failure, right? He was always not meeting expectations,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But then acting like he's this swashbuckling, you know,
he might have been enough pirate to like lead a group, but like yeah, that's pretty precarious. Like as soon as you stop delivering, they turn on you, right? Yeah.
Right. Well, I just think it was just very funny, like how he was like, you know, he kind of reminded me of like Han Solo and Captain Jack Sparrow, where it's
yeah.
like,
yeah,
yes,
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow,
same, yeah.
but I'm also getting caught, and yeah, I'm also getting
out of scrapes
stolen. And,
yeah, yeah, he's getting out of scrapes, but barely.
Right.
It's like there's always a complication with it, yeah, which is immensely entertaining.
Well, and then finding out what we find out at the end of the show, it's kind of endearing, right? It's like, so I mean, if we understand the story correctly, he was a Padawan.
Unofficially, I think,
or
it sounds like he was like a street urchin who Order 66 survivor, either a Padawan or a knight.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Found him as a street urchin and, like, sensed that he was enough Force sensitive, and
she taught him something.
I feel like she was a Padawan, because he's like, she taught me everything she knew, and he barely knows anything, right? Or do we know who she is? I know they, like, deleted a bunch of stuff.
They deleted,
actress the whole posted on Instagram.
Apparently they were going to
show there was a flashback scene.
Yeah. So, like, whether she was, like, a advanced Padawan or a knight or whatever, like, yeah, she taught. I don't think he was ever, like, fully in the order. I think he was always just post Order 66, street trained, right? But he's like a street urchin.
But it portrays him as, like, it's like, he basically tells us, right? He's like, you know, then this person got killed, and so then he was left to fend for himself. So he was never really,
yeah.
He's just always been, like, you know, a street rat.
Yes.
He's always been like Aladdin. Like,
he's a yes.
One step ahead of
Aladdin. Basically, like Ezra, if he went like Hondo route with
Exactly. Like, right. But he never really excelled at it.
Yeah.
He was just trying to survive, which is what he tells us, right? And and it ended up making him a sympathetic character in some ways, because it was like, oh, this guy's been, you know, and like that line, you know, those little pinpricks of light. You know, like, he's become very jaded and very pessimistic and very, you know, every man for himself. But in the end, that doesn't work out for him. And he seems to be at least reflecting on that in some ways.
So was episode 5 the, like, spa planet? Or was that 6?
Yeah, that was 5.
So, like, yeah, that was the... They went to that spa planet, which is kind of like Kessel from Solo, ironically.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And then, like... That's where they met, like, the other bounty hunter, which I thought that was really good, like, makeup and, like...
Yeah, like, character design. Like,
she looked really good for an alien. And, like, but they didn't... I guess they didn't really fully use her as much as they maybe could have. But she was, like... She was the one who called in, I guess, the crew. Like, hey, I found him, and then that brings everyone there. And, like... But that had, like, some of the, like... That had some of the biggest twists, I'd say, up to that point, where it's, like... A, it's, like... I'm like, oh, did he just, like, acid all those people? Like turn the acid back and kill this whole crew? Like, but apparently they got out of it. But, like, you're, like, they're heavily implying that he just murdered them all. And then he's, like, going to challenge Fern to, like, the death to fight for, like captaincy. Uh-huh. And it's, like, geez, dude. And then, like, yeah, then he gets the lightsaber and, like, turns it on. And you're, like, oh, my gosh. Like, and they
look at he's increasingly, like, becoming aware... Right, like, if you think about it from his perspective as a pirate, right, like, he's like, this could be, like, the booty of a lifetime.
Yeah, wanting that room, yeah.
No pun intended. But, like, that was, like, if you think about it from a pirate's perspective, where you're just always scraping and surviving, and then, like,
that was like
you could get, like, unlimited wealth. Yeah. And he's like, this is it. I could be set for life, like... Like, in the most incredible way. And he's, like, that greed is, like, slowly, like, as he gets closer to it, I think it makes him worse of a person.
Right.
And then when it all falls apart, you know, then he's like, oh, dang, I have nothing. Like, I have nothing. Like, at the end of the show, right?
Yeah.
He's got no friends. He's got no family. He's got no money. He's got nothing.
Presumably arrested by the New Republic.
Yeah, he's none of it went his way.
So 6 then was, like, you were talking about the kids. Like, 6 was, like, I think that was the Bryce Dallas Howard one, and it's very centric on the kids. Because, like, they had escaped, right? And, like, they went down the tubes or whatever.
Yeah, and they were, like, they got separated.
So, yeah, it's like
Yeah, and then they kind of, like, do a switcheroo.
Yeah.
They
mix up who's with who. So, like, Fern's with Neil, which we don't usually see those too often. And then it's Wim
and KB.
KB. And, like, he has to, like, save her life because her, like, her augmentations, I think they call it, from her accident.
Yeah, something.
Or, like, keeping her alive. So she's, like, she's, like, a Lobot kind of person, right?
Yeah.
She's got the same, like, Lobot headband thing. And, like, yeah, he has to save her life. But, they kind of, like, they carry the whole episode. Like, it's an episode featuring the kids, really. And then there's, like, the crab home, the crab people, the little crabs with, like, all the spare parts or whatever. And then the big mother crab. And then that's when we saw, too, like, the ship. Like, you're like, oh, there's, like, this other ship in there. And it's, like, metaphorically and literally, it's, like, they're metamorphosizing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, casting off their shell and, like, emerging as a new thing, right? Like, that was really smart, I thought. Like, that whole episode was
crazy. I thought that was also, like, just the right amount of serious. Like, the kids were in quite a bit of danger.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, KB dying. Like, I thought that was very well handled to show these kids in very grown-up kind of, like, confronting things like death.
Yeah.
Or peril. Or conflict resolution. You know, they couldn't get along. And then they ended up realizing they're stronger together. All of that I thought was handled very well, like in a way that's relatable to kids, but also still like relatable to adults, as a dramatic device. So I thought that was very effective. The shot of the ship getting,
that was
just,
very cool.
Just looked amazing.
I feel bad for all the people that like bought the Onyx Cinder toy or the Lego.
Yeah.
Like, unless they designed it where it has like a slip, like a sheath. But like,
no, you know, they don't.
That's like everyone that like, bought like the Razor Crest and like the minute it blew up. Oh, man. But so, Seven then was like, I think that starts with like him, like with Jude Law, like making the like, kind of gambit. Like he's about to get airlocked, right? And like he like convinces everyone with his like 1 minute of speech to like, Atten is like the prize, right? It's like this storehouse of Republic credits or whatever. It's like the mint,
yeah,
right? Because the whole time we're kind of like, what is it? Like, what is it? Like, what is this place's deal? Like, what is what are these like grown ups doing? Like, so the whole time, like, all the parents are trying to find the kids, right? Which I thought was kind of a mixed bag. Like, I think those scenes were like the weakest of the whole show. It was like the parents, I mean, yes, at home trying to like definitely do their thing,
except for the scene where they're trying to send the communicator out. I thought that was pretty cool, where the boys were chasing them in the woods.
Oh, yeah,
at night.
That was very reminiscent of E.T. too, like the flashlights.
I thought that was cool. And I thought that the scenes with Wim's dad, where he goes on the speeder bikes with them, I thought that was that was very fun.
Yeah.
And he was very funny in that scene. And also the space lasagna was hilarious. Like, oh, welcome. Oh, don't you miss a home-cooked meal? It's like the typical single dad microwaving a frozen meal.
Yeah.
So I think that episode ends with them like arriving through the shield of Atten, or like or arriving at the planet with the pirates. Or that's when he has the kids like at gunpoint, as or the
second to last episode ends with him standing with a lightsaber.
Yeah, threateningly.
Right before they go in the mint.
And like when the mom calls, then now he knows, like then he's like basically like, here's the story, and you're going to stick to it, or I'm going to kill your family and then you. Like, he was like,
yes.
Like, I'm going to be the public emissary, right? He's going to pose as the person who's supposed to be coming, right? Yeah. They called for help, and he's the help, right?
Yeah.
That was the plan. And, yeah, I guess, like, is that how that went? No, that must have been how 6 ends, because 7 ends with him at the vault, right? With that cliffhanger.
And 7 ends with him standing in front of them with a lightsaber.
Oh, down in the vault.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Threatening them.
Yeah.
Or perceiving that he's going to
throw it. Or he, like, brandishes the saber, but it turns out that I was just, like just I am the Jedi emissary. Or yeah. That wasn't, they didn't take that as threatening, because I guess they wouldn't have any context for, like, a lightsaber other than, like, because they're, like, super sheltered. They even know about the Empire.
They don't know about the Empire. They don't know about the Clone Wars.
So, like, to them, it's like, oh, a Jedi emissary, like, that's no big deal. Like, we're used to seeing that, and like, he's proven that he's a Jedi, I guess, and it wasn't like, oh, no, a Jedi. They're like,
I do think they didn't do enough to explain the full thing about Atten, though.
Like why it was cut off.
They kept saying, the great work. What was the great work? I still don't really know.
I think it was just making money. Like, making money for the galaxy.
So, like, they're, like, mining it and refining it and storing it?
Yeah.
But like, they thought they were funding the Old Republic? Or the High Republic, or which, I still wasn't really clear.
Like, yeah, are they like Fort Knox, or are they like...
What time period did they think they were in?
Yeah, I think they thought they were in the Republic.
Yeah.
They wouldn't necessarily call it the High Republic, because that contrasts it with like...
Pre-Clone Wars Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
But not High Republic.
Right.
Because they're never supposed to leave the planet with that shield thing, and like they
only we'll put the shield there.
Yeah.
I don't really understand.
Like, well, then there's like 6 of them. There's like 6 of the planets, like, right? There's like a group of them.
So was that like...
And they're all like clones of each other.
So that was just like security measures? Like, these are the planets that print the money and we got to keep them safe?
Right.
Because there were times when it was kind of portrayed as like this very oppressive environment.
Yeah, with, like, the administrator or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I called this, like, being an AI, right? I called that pretty early. I'm like, this isn't... It's like a Wizard of Oz thing, right? Right. It's like, where it actually is, it's an inverse Wizard of Oz, where actually it is like an AI. It's not like a guy behind the curtain. It actually is like this threatening, an unpersonal thing.
I mean,
right?
And looking at their track record, maybe it was an efficient way to run things. I mean, they've been hidden for that long.
Yeah, I mean, it worked, but like, you can't break, like, at the end of the day, you can't, like, take the explorer out of the person, you know, like,
right.
they needed, like, they're always looking at the stars, right? That's the theme of Star Wars, too. Like, get out, see the galaxy, right? That was right on theme there. And, like, just the dad is like, no, you gotta, like, stay and, like, fulfill the family business, right? Like, right. You gotta be an administrator like me, or an analyst, or whatever he is, right? And they're like, what are we analyzing? I don't know. Yeah. Same thing as Han Solo one, right? Same story. It all rhymes, right?
That's one of the clear themes of the show, right? One of the clear themes of the show is, like, these kids that are, you know, raised in the suburbs and brainwashed, you could say, into, hey, this is the only life there is, accept it, embrace it, you know, climb the ladder, so to speak. And, you know, that was the kids going on their adventure, right? Like, opens the parents' eyes eventually to, oh, yeah, there's more, you know. Well, I mean, first of all, like, you literally are living in a lie. But also, like, oh, yeah, maybe there is more to whatever, the galaxy or life, than just, you know, being part of the great work.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know that the show was portraying it as a boring existence, but definitely lacking in any kind of, like, adventure or, you know.
I think it's, like, just, it's saying the great work, that's just a stand-in for, like, follow the American dream, right? Or, like, just whatever, like, stand-in, like, destiny that you're supposed to do, like, the script.
Right.
Whatever the script says or the programming says. For them, it's, like, this great work, which is mysterious to us. It might be just as mysterious to these kids, honestly. They might, because they were kind of like, what are we even doing? And it's, they're depicting it as, like, you know, a classic, like, cult, right? Where the deeper you go, then you finally get more and more knowledge, right? But, like, at the lower levels, you're kept in the dark.
Right.
But then by the time you, like, get the full picture, you're, like, way too deep at that point. I think that's kind of, like, what's going on there, is, like, a kind of controlled society, right, in that sense. Like North Korea, right, or something. Maybe not that bad. I guess they are under surveillance all the time, though, those droids.
Oh, yeah.
For their own safety.
Yeah, I think that's where it was a little bit confusing, like I was saying. Like, I feel like they could have explained, like, I never really feel like I got a full picture of, like,
yeah,
what AT-AT was all about, what it was like, why, was it good, was it bad, was it, what was it?
And, like, was the other planet that, like, they had, there was, like, this child soldiers, like, was that just like AT-AT was and descended into that? Or, like, obviously, like, it was a clone copy of it, but it had, like, had a revolution or whatever, or, like, some kind of civil war. So, like, what happened there? Like, did they break their AI overlord and then, like, started a war of it at some other point? Like, what happened there?
Yeah.
What happened to these other ones? Like, there's, like, at least four other ones that we don't know anything about, which that's where, like, maybe in season two, if they did it, they could,
like, explore those. The other
ones, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that could be.
Well, that's why I feel like the show did, like, you could do a season two and further develop, like,
yeah,
what that was all about.
And then how it connects to everything. Because, like, some of the theories were, like, because this is post Return of the Jedi, they're, like, because at the very end, right, the New Republic shows up because somebody had called the bird lady, I guess, call in the help. But, like, for a second there, I was, like, what if, like, a, like, Imperial remnant shows up and, like, and that's the First Order. Like, the First Order takes all that money and runs off with it and then becomes the First Order off of that. Like, all that, they build their entire, which that I don't know, like,
could be.
Like, that's where I was thinking they were going to tie it in with the sequel trilogy. Like, here, 25 years later, this is how, like, this is how we explain, like, 700 million Star Destroyers, right, on Echo, or whatever, right?
I thought that would have been a cool connection.
They kind of explored that Exegol thing more in the comics, but.
Okay. But I mean, so I guess, like, the good guys win in that sense, right? Because it would have been interesting to, like, end it on the, like, they're like, yay, oh no. But, like, they may not, they're so ignorant that they wouldn't necessarily know that, like, this Imperial remnant coming in is, like, not the good guys to us. Like, they're like, oh, there's, like, the people coming to kill the pirates. But, like, that would endear them to this group, and then now this group is actually the bad guys. And, like,
well, they would have immediately occupied the planet.
Potentially, yeah.
And
but what's the New Republic going to do? Control. Aren't they going to do the same thing? The New Republic? They're just going to let them free, right?
Right.
That's the question, because they're shown to be incompetent, right, in Mandalorian.
Yeah,
the Republic. Yeah, but that's by design, obviously. That's how they explain the New Order coming up or over, but... Anyway,
I thought another thing that was really cool, I think the show, like, did a really good job of, like, maintaining that piratey kind of undercurrent the whole time without making it too piratey, I guess.
Yeah, it, like, reminded you of it, but it's not, like, way...
It wasn't, like...
Too on the nose.
Yeah, it wasn't too on the nose or, like, overwhelming, but it was, like... It made it very fun. It was just like the pirate kind of like, really reminded me a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean, the swashbuckling kind of like zany adventures kind of thing, which I thought was really, really effective and made the show fun. I thought that Jod played that character like, because he really was like two characters, right? His Jod when he's being a pirate, and then Jod when he's trying to survive, like, not as a pirate per se, like, actively.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting. I thought that there was, I think that one of the things I wanted to talk about was, like, just some of the scenes with Jude Law. Like, the first one that comes to mind is the little scene with Wim.
Yeah.
Where he has that little talk with him when Wim was crying.
Like, he's giving his version of the Jedi Code that he learned.
And it was like,
it was a little bit off.
Later you find out it was off, and you find out it's because it's kind of coming from a place of bitterness.
Yeah.
Or
just incomplete information, like he wasn't really told. Because for all we know, his master, quote unquote, would be, obviously she was traumatized, right? If she's a over 66 survivor, she might have been a little bit disillusioned herself with like the ideals of the Jedi Code and like transmitted that to him a little bit.
I think she was killed during the
Perhaps like if she died living up to her ideals and he saw that, then he's like, look at what this gets
right.
And then he's like jaded on it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think that's where it's
I wish I could have gotten into that somehow, like that whole story a little bit more. Because he just kind of told everyone at the end.
Yeah.
He did like the mustache twirling villain, like, I'm gonna take all this time to explain my evil plan, you know? And they did that trope in a little bit.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah, and like one thing about Jod that I kind of find interesting is that I think he kind of respects the kids in a way more than the adults ever did, like, while they were on Atten.
Yeah.
Which, that kind of drew Wim. It kind of fascinated Fern in a way, despite them being at odds at first.
Maybe he was a little jealous of their free childhood.
Or like, right.
They have the burns he had.
He has admiration and like, which you do see the admiration come later on in his defeat, where he decides to drop the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, Wim and Jod's relationship's definitely a John Silver and Jim Hawkins relationship.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very, very effective little sequence where, or scene, or basically, like, just a frame where they're leaving the room and Wim just goes, Jod, and looks at him like, aren't you coming? Or like, what's going to happen to Jod? Like, and I thought it was just very, I think that's one of the things that made the show work, was that it was, you know, it's like, it's kids who are going through a kind of like a coming of age experience, in the sense of like, they're learning that the world, the universe or the galaxy is not just what they know on that Atten.
Yeah.
And they have some really bad experiences with bad people, but they maintain their like innocence in a way.
Yeah.
And like that little scene where Wim just kind of looks at Jod like for a moment before the elevator closes and says his name as if he was like, wait, what's going to happen? Or
yeah.
Like, and I thought that was very effective. And like, again, like, it's part of what makes that effective as a kid's show. but still very, like, that was very, like,
yeah,
mature, like, messaging.
Which is right in the line with Star Wars. Like, George Lucas was like, it's aimed at 12-year-olds, but, like, it's a way to get at these themes, these adult grown-up themes. It's like a coming-of-age introduction to, like, the wider universe of Marvels or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, do a fairy tale aimed at 12-year-olds instead of, like, a fairy tale aimed at 6-year-olds. Like, there's a different way you get at the same truths through a medium. And, like, that's what he was doing. And, like, even to the prequels, he was like, let's teach a new generation about, like, the dangers of tyranny, right? And, like, the necessary, like, defense of democracy, right? And this is, like, Bush, Warren, Terror era, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the message I got when I was, like, you know, 12 to 18 when the prequels came out for me. That's, like, also my own, like, growing up into, like, the wider world of, like, oh, that's, like, learn about politics, that's learn about, like, mm-hmm. government, and, like, mm-hmm. and, like, I'm living through War on Terror, Iraq War, like, I'm living through all this stuff.
Right, and you're so, actually living through experiencing, like, oh, you mean I can't always trust the government?
Yeah, like, I watched, like, all the Patriot Act stuff, right, you know, watched, like, you know, Fahrenheit 9/11, right, all that, like, all that stuff was, it all just coalesced together, and George Lucas was, like, one of my tutors in that way, right, yeah. through those prequels, yeah. of, like, this is how democracy dies, right, with thunderous applause, like, that's a lesson that mm-hmm. has stuck with me, you know, like, yeah. that's how it works, you know, I was like, yay, yikes, you know.
That's why I think you'll love that book.
Yeah, right, I'm looking forward to that, because that's my, some of my favorite stuff about Star Wars is the prequels, is, like, as actually the politics, yes, right. honestly, yes. yes. But, so I think how do we want to rate it overall, I guess, the entire, like, how do we find the series out of 10?
Yeah, let's do that. So, overall, Skeleton Crew was a fun ride that surprisingly didn't 100% need the shoulders of the Skywalker trilogy to hold it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was very easy to follow. I loved the kid actors, and the acting was just fantastic out of them. The puppetry on Neo was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was kind of a fun game I played with that too, because there were some scenes where that was CGI, and there were some scenes that weren't, and it was kind of hard to differentiate at times.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in my eyes, it's a fantastic thing. Yep. You can pull that off really well. Like you guys said, I loved the piratey themes to it. Like even the music. Mike Giacchino.
Yeah.
Who is the son of?
Oh, that's right.
That's the son of Michael.
Right. Yes.
Giacchino.
It's his son did this.
His son did this. It's
family business now.
Yep.
It's cool. Yeah, it did a good job with it. It wasn't like, I can't remember any of the themes, but I wasn't like cringing at any of it either. You know what I mean?
I think the like main theme involving the kids was like really memorable in a way. Like for Star Wars like metrics. And like whenever they did do piratey things, like it kind of
piratey music. Yeah. And there was like the adventure, like thrill and adventure music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very well done. Jude Law, which at first, to be honest, when I heard that Jude Law was going to be in it, I kind of did have that fear that he might overpower everybody and kind of be the only good thing to come out of it, which that would have, like, that it's kind of like the, him being like the only good actor that has saved the whole show in a way. But no, he did a fantastic job, but I felt like he understood when to balance, like, he really well balanced when his character had to, like, be the center of attention when he had to kind of let the kids step aside, beside the robot telling him to step aside at times. I loved the pirate crew. I thought Julian Wilde being a cameo in there was pretty funny. Steve Urkel.
Oh yeah, Steve Urkel.
Yep. that was him. what was the captain?
The wolf guy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was somebody famous, right?
I liked him.
The voice. Oh, Brutus. Captain Brutus.
And the way that Kirkpatrick killed him.
Yeah, he killed him.
Yeah, that was right. That I kind of...
I was like, dang.
It kind of shocked me, but at the same time, it was like, well, why not?
Yeah.
In a way.
It was, like, I technically mean, off screen. They, like, cut away for a second.
Right.
But, like, yeah.
No, it was just like, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. So what would you rate it out of overall?
So, I think episode-wise, individually, they average around, like, maybe the lowest was, like, a 7.8. And then it ranges from 9 with, like, the certain episodes and the finale. So, overall, I think I'd give it a good solid 6.8 out of 5. It was a fun, solid ride.
6.8 out of 10, even?
Yep.
For the whole season?
Yeah.
But didn't you say some like it ranged from 7.8 to 9?
Yeah.
So like it should be somewhere were between those, right? Not below that? How can you rate it? How can you rate it 6.8 if they all were 7.8 to 9?
Oh, I meant 8.6.
Oh, yeah, six, not 6.8.
Yeah.
8.6.
Okay. Yep. Yes. 8.6.
Gotcha.
Sorry. I kind of...
I'm like statistician nerd alert.
Yeah, thanks for calling me out.
it's like
saying Force Unleashed instead of Force Awakens.
Yes, right.
I've made that mistake multiple times on the show. Yeah. And thanks for calling that out. And what about you, Sean?
I think that I always like, you know, I go from 5 and then I add or subtract.
Okay.
So, like, this got its way up to 7 overall, but there's some variability within that. But it's pretty tight. So, there's not big swings for me, but it's pretty tight around 7,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Okay.
You know, it was enjoyable. It's also somewhat forgettable, or, like, I haven't, like, wanted to rewatch it necessarily. And then, like, my kids, like I said, was in one ear out the other. Which I don't know if that's like an indictment on it or just the attention span of kids or what. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
when I was their age and I watched Star Wars, I just had it on repeat for years.
Right.
You know, so it's like, that was a different time.
Yeah.
You only had like one VCR tape of whatever,
right.
And that's all you got to watch, you know? Yeah.
I got to watch the other 50 shows and video games.
And like, you want to watch TV, it's just whatever's on. And right. If you're 10 minutes into the movie, too bad. Pick it up from there, you know? Like, my kids are so confused when we go to, like, a hotel. And they're
like, what is this game?
I'm like, watch that thing. I'm like, no, you got to wait for it to come on. Or like, wait, go back to the beginning. I'm like, nope, that's not how this works. I'm like, all right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, I'm feeling old. But, it's like 7, low 7s, right, overall. I guess my favorite episode, honestly, was the one, like, is it 6, where the kids, like, the kid-centric one?
Oh, okay.
They do all that character work. Huh. And then, like, I don't know, I just, for some reason, I thought that was really good, especially because it's kids, like, showcasing these kids carrying the whole thing, more or less.
Mm.
And, like, that proves, like, the concept that, like, you can do it well. They don't have to just be assisted by a Jude Law, right?
Uh-huh.
I thought Jude Law he was good, but I also, like, I felt like he's a little bit Hollywood. Like, he's a little too tan, a little too, like, white teeth, you know? Like, look at he, like, grummed him up a little bit. I'm sure, like, he had to be, like, the wine mom draw a little bit, you know? You know what I mean? Like, okay. he had to look good, you know what I mean? Because all the
wine moms.
Yeah, they're, like, 30-something wine moms with their kids.
Mom.
Yeah, it's, like, the show, I feel like, was, like, yeah, let's get, like, a late 30s mom with the elementary-age kids. They can,
like,
sit down and watch
Hey, kids, you want to watch Jude Law? I mean, Skeleton.
Yeah, that's how I was, like... Because I was like, hey, sir, you want to watch with us? And she's like, not like in the new Star Wars show. And she's like, ah, not really. I'm like, it has Jude Law. And she's like, ah, oh, no. Like, it's like, she's like, almost did it. Like, oh, well, okay, you know. almost. You almost had me there, right? But, so, yeah, I think that just, you know, so it's like solid, right, to me. Not outstanding, but not, not as bad as I thought, I guess it was me. I was like preparing for, like, cringing a lot, and I didn't. I don't think I really cringed at all, you know?
Yeah, I think the show benefited from low expectations and just general lack of hype.
Yeah.
I think helped it to just be absorbed for what it was,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to all of this high expectation or super low expectation, which I think helped the show quite a bit for me. Yeah.
What would you rate it?
Oh, I think I'm going to do a little different rating because I think that I think I've said things like this before, but I feel like I have a rating for it as a Star Wars show, and then just like my rating for it in this grand scheme of media.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, so I think as a Star Wars show, I would give it about an 8.2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a Star Wars show, I thought it was better than average. I thought it was a very pleasant surprise. I thought that it did, it was the best thing they've done that was almost completely original, without some of the trappings of Star Wars. I thought the kids did a really good job. I thought Jude Law did a really good job. I think, like, overall, it was the closest thing that they've gotten to where it was firing on all cylinders, so to speak, even though I do have other shows that I liked more than this.
Yeah.
But, like, I think as a Star Wars show, I give it an 8.2.
Mm-hmm.
As a television show in general, compared to, like, all the other content that I might be drawn to watch, like, I can see where if I wasn't a Star Wars fan, I never would have even, this would not have even been on my radar.
Right.
Like, if I was just a casual, like, I'm a person who's just seen all the Skywalker Saga movies and nothing else, this would probably be something I would have skipped entirely.
Unless you're watching maybe with your kids.
Maybe.
That are the right age for it. Maybe.
But if I was not in that situation, yeah. I might not have even heard of it. Or I might have, like,
right.
I think there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh yeah, there's a skeleton, that's a Star Wars thing. Oh, it already came out? Oh, I missed it.
Everyone missed it, apparently.
Yeah. I mean,
it didn't even crack like the
top. As a TV show overall, I would have to give it about a 7.5.
Okay.
Like, when I look at it through the lens of my overall content and media literacy, I would say it's more of a 7.5.
What would be its, like, peer group, right? Like, what's a show aimed at that age group that is, say, an adventure or, like, a, right? Like, I don't know if Stranger Things, I feel like Stranger Things is, like, more, like, and yeah, the next notch up, like, high school.
Like, high school adult.
Oriented.
Stranger Things is, like,
yeah,
junior, senior in high school / college.
As it gets farther along, yeah.
Oh. And I think it was very much for adults who grew up in the 70s and 80s. Like, I think...
Skeleton Crew?
Or no.
Stranger Things? Yeah, yeah.
Stranger Things, to be clear. That's, like, to me, that's R-rated television. Like,
okay.
That was horrifying. That is some of the creepiest, scariest, like, peril. Like, that's that is on a whole nother level from Skeleton Crew, in my opinion.
Right. But it's a similar, like, nostalgia play here, where they're trying to, like...
Similar.
But, like, those kids these days, as they say, right, they have no... Like, I was just like, oh, that's E.T., or well, that's this, so that's Goonies. And, like, and I wasn't even born in that early 80s era.
Right.
But, like, like, I watched that, you know, the reruns or, like, the tapes of E.T. and all that stuff.
Right. Or your
but
parents introduced
you. Yeah, it was, like, the milieu I was in.
Yes.
But, like, that necessarily isn't necessarily the case, because it's hard to, like, show kids, honestly, like, movies that are from, like, the mid-80s or earlier. Like, rare is the movie that can, like, hold their attention from that era.
Right.
Like, just the pacing is different. Indiana Jones works, but
right.
That's just an immaculately paced
movie. I think what worked about the show was that it wasn't Stranger Things, but it wasn't, like, a kiddie show.
Right.
Like, where it's just like, oh my gosh, this is a kid show.
Like, Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. Like, it was right between.
Yeah.
And it did that very, very well.
Yeah.
And it did it as a Star Wars show, but also just as a show on its own.
Yeah.
But I still think that, like, overall, like, maybe because it was in that, straddling that line between for grown-ups, for kids, and because of my age and because of where my kids are, like, that kind of content has less of a draw for me.
Yeah, your kids are, like, too old
for it. But still very enjoyable. Like,
yeah.
I had many times when I was watching that show where I was just, it was just joy.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
It was just fun.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, just like the chase when they get on the speeder bikes and they're with the dad and they're trying to get to the, you know, like, that was just very, very fun. Like,
yeah.
Like I that tapped into what for me as a kid would have been like, cool. Like, that's so cool.
It's kind of like the Endor chase, the Endor speeder chase, like, sort of reminiscent of that slightly. Or, like, the mine car in Temple of Doom, right?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like, I think that the show, that's why I think as a Star Wars show, I'd rank it higher than I would as just content in general.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that that is probably how I should, that is kind of how I look at Star Wars. Like, I don't view Star Wars through the same lens as I view all the other movies and TV shows that I watch. Not that I don't want it to be as good as everything else I watch, but I do think that Star Wars, especially in this day and age of, like, what you might call, like, the Game of Thrones effect, like, really mature content, like, you know, like, nowadays, like, the stuff on cable TV feels like it's for, like, 12-year-olds. The stuff like grown-up shows on regular TV are like preschool, like compared to what you see on HBO or Hulu like, you know, something like The Handmaid's Tale, where there's like ritual rape scenes. I mean, these are like the content in some ways you could say it's gotten darker and kind of jaded and kind of like too real.
Or it's like slop, like what you call like first responder porn shows.
Yeah,
like,
well that's
like that's like network TV now, like it's
just for that's just
that's all your choices, right?
So I mean, like in some ways you could say, I don't mean this as a dig on the show, but it was shallow, right? It wasn't trying to go super deep.
Right.
It went just deep enough to be engaging for me as an adult.
Trying to be edgy or whatever. Yeah.
But also still fun enough to tap into my the kid side of me.
Yeah.
And so I thought that in that regard, as a Star Wars show, that's why I would give it a higher score, because I think that's what's... I come to Star Wars... Half of me comes to Star Wars as a kid.
Right.
And always will.
Yeah.
Like, so I will never come to Star Wars like I would come to Handmaid's Tale or Severance or, you know, where my expectations are only for the adult part of me.
Yeah, right.
Whereas Star Wars...
Always has the kid part.
I want you to tap into my childhood, and I'm okay with setting aside some of my... my grown-up palate,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm coming to the show, but I don't want all broccoli. Like,
yeah,
I want an Oreo.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Okay, I should do it. 8.6.
Yep.
7.2, I'll say, and you were.
7. I'll say 7.5.
Right.
For the overall score, but yeah, higher for Star Wars.
Okay. So that'll do it for Skeleton Crew. We'll be back for probably Andor season 2, Andor Files,
or
similar. And then Justin will be going to Tokyo for Celebration. And so we'll get a debrief from that for sure as well. So until next time, the Force will be with you.
Always.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.